Equanimity is such a powerful state of being that a lot of people equate it with nirvana. They think that it's the same thing. And the answer is no, it isn't. But it's a darn good way to get there. It's definitely inclined toward that. And just like the other three of the Brahma Viharas, equanimity can be cultivated. It's completely accessible. One of the meanings of the Pali word for equanimity is staying balanced in the midst of all this, of everything. Now, as we've talked about, all of the Brahma Viharas have near enemies. And these are states of mind that are so close to the real thing that they're like pitfalls, traps that we just fall into. And it's important to know equanimity's near enemy, because there is so much misunderstanding about what equanimity is. Oops. Ah, good. I think we're all right. Was that you? Is the situation taken care of? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. And the big misunderstanding is what it feels like, what's going on inside of a person who is equanimous at that moment. And some people, because they don't understand what equanimity is, they hide or actually suppress their feelings, so they'll appear calm. Well, I stayed calm, so I was equanimous. And this can cause dukkha to them. In fact, it most likely will cause dukkha to them and possibly to others, because it's very unbalancing to suppress or hide your feelings. Maybe the worst mistake that people make with equanimity is that they think they really shouldn't care. And that makes our lives sadly hollow. Equanimity is not a matter of sidestepping the difficulties of life. Not at all. Rather, it is the capacity to engage fully with whatever arises without losing perspective. It allows us to live wholeheartedly. Jack Kornfield says, in just a blistering simplicity, equanimity arises when we accept things the way they are. It's so simple. Just accept this is how things are right now. That doesn't mean approving. It doesn't mean that if it's something that can be addressed, you don't address it. But you recognize the truth of it and the truth of your responses to it. In the absence of our cravings and aversions, our responses to things, which comes from acceptance, then that acceptance has a depth of feeling that's similar to love. And when I talk about this, I like to, you know, say, well, what did you want most from your parents when you were a preteen or a teenager? You wanted them to accept you for who you were at that moment. So it's very close to love. With equanimity, there is a sense of harmony with and a belonging to all that is. Because you're not putting up barriers. You're not blocking it. You're not looking away from it. You're letting it be. It is definitely not being disinterested in what's happening or to people's responses to what's happening. With compassion, equanimity allows a powerful engagement in the world. I worked for several years with the Buddhist Peace Fellowship, and they are not passive. They're just right out there seeing what needs to be done and seeing how to do it and doing it. As I pointed out in discussing compassion, if we cultivate metta, compassion, and sympathetic joy, which you've all done today, then we really need equanimity. Anapanasatara, who's been referred to several times, said, a world where beings who were a short while ago connected with us through sympathetic joy are at the next moment in want of our compassion. Such a world needs equanimity. The kind of emotional whiplash we get from life's normal roller coaster would be magnified by the other Brahmaviharas if we didn't cultivate equanimity along with them. To gain the balance that comes from equanimity, we need to avoid getting stuck to our reactions to things and events. When we don't like something that's happened or is happening now, and we just really want to go on not liking it, we're stuck. That initial, this is not what I want to encourage, that's maybe the first arrow of fortune. But after that, we're shooting the arrows at ourselves. We're attached. Not getting stuck to our reactions takes practice. You can't just decide, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I remember I was talking about Buddhism in my early years with my sister. I've got a good sister and a bad sister. This is the bad sister. Just to sum things up, you know. And I told her about this, getting stuck to your reactions. And she said, I won't do that anymore. And I said, well, good luck with that. It takes practice. And mindfulness in meditation and in daily life is that practice. By noticing what mental and emotional activity leads to dukkha, we can end it. Just like rubbing the scar tissue. You can get rid of it. Either by redirecting our thoughts or by digging out the root cause of those thoughts and inclinations. Now let me unpack that just a little bit. There's this thing on the Eightfold Path, along with mindfulness and concentration, that's called right effort. And that's this allusion to not watering the weeds, water the flowers. Thich Nhat Hanh, it's not mine. So redirecting our thoughts, where do you go when you're really not liking something? What have we been talking about today? Metta, or compassion, or sympathetic joy. Turn to it. Maybe it's not going to be in the situation, but you can always remember how much you care about someone who's having a hard time. And now it's you, because you don't like this thing. You can bring compassion for yourself. And that's just one of a gazillion uses for these other Brahma Viharas, which develop equanimity. We can also change our behavior. Oh, I want to talk about the root cause. Digging out the root cause. And this may have happened while you were having your discussions. I know it happened between Deb and I while we were chatting about sympathetic joy and the things that keep us from feeling it. And, you know, we uncovered, oh, it's not just that I have this attitude, but where that attitude came from. So we can, in addition to changing the habits of our mind, we can change our behavior by paying attention to and following the precepts, the five precepts, and the wise speech, action, and livelihood parts of the Eightfold Path. So that we avoid the conduct that will reinforce our reactivity, our habitual craving and aversion. As Pema Chodron says, to cultivate equanimity, we practice catching ourselves when we feel attraction or aversion before it hardens into grasping or negativity. So it's a practice. We work at letting go of these causes of dukkha. As a teacher who also writes, you know, I've got a blog on my website, I really need to keep this kind of balance in mind, because these days in particular, there's this social ethos that it's virtuous to be outraged. When I use the various experiences of children on a playground to write about equanimity, I was accused of equating a child's loss of a teddy bear to the shooting in Philadelphia. We need to name outrageous conduct for what it is and do our best to control and prevent it. What we don't need is to abandon our internal balance so we can't recognize an analogy or listen to each other. Do not be afraid of equanimity or those who have it. It enables us to care ever more deeply and to act effectively, because our vision of how things are isn't distorted by our clinging, our reactivity. You've got it. Thank you. No, I didn't need it yet. So, here are some things that we can do in daily life to develop equanimity. Excuse me. It's that tree with the yellow powder. Yeah. When upset, step back mentally from the situation causing it. Whenever it's possible, widen your perspective on events and situations. Recognize there's always a broader context in which this situation exists. And, as Deb pointed out earlier, somewhere in the world, at this moment, there are people and animals that are at ease and happy. Your mind isn't confined to this event or the thoughts you're thinking now. Allow space to hold the current experience in compassion and loving kindness. Then deal with what's in front of you. When you see others suffer, invite metta and compassion for their dukkha and yours. Am I on the right page? Yes. Let compassion open your heart to suffering. And let love soothe the ache of seeing it. So if you want to really be balanced in the midst of all of this, you need to see it. And it's going to be troubling to see it. Because, you know, you're going to see people who are suffering. So bring in the compassion. Bring in the kindness, the love. See how your caring for other beings connects you to them. So that neither you nor they are isolated in the dukkha that is so pervasive in life. We each must deal with our own dukkha, but we do not need to feel alone when we do. Remember that everything changes. This is suggestion number 3. Remember that everything changes. Sadness and joy keep changing places. Change is both the cause of the situation that distresses us, and it's our reprieve from them. Wait a while. It's going to change. This will not go on forever. Life brings us 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, and it is possible to keep balanced among them. And finally, and this is a big one, because, you know, this idea of attachment, things being sticky, your cravings, your aversions. What's the thing in the middle that causes that stickiness? Or the big magnet that holds them there? Here's a suggestion. When you're taking something personally, notice that. And remember, you can let it go. The more you think about you, the more you suffer. And you don't have to. Thank you. End at 3:30 or go to 3:40? They have to leave at 3:30. All right, this is going to be a slightly shorter meditation because we're off schedule and I know some people need to leave at 3:30. So we're going to accommodate them. The phrases for equanimity. Knowing there will be suffering. Remember, all beings must end their own dukkha. Their happiness and unhappiness depend on them, not on my wishes for them. May you accept things just as they are. On encountering dukkha, this is what we say to ourselves and to others in our hearts. May you be undisturbed by the ups and downs of life. May your heart open wide enough to hold all that is true in the moment. All beings must end their own dukkha. Their happiness and unhappiness depend on them, not on my wishes for them. You might say those phrases or that idea over to yourself. and to yourself and all others. May you accept things just as they are. Again, for yourself and all others, may you be undisturbed by the ups and downs of life. May all of our hearts open wide enough to hold all that is true in the moment. All beings must end their own dukkha. Their happiness and unhappiness depend on them, not on my wishes for them. May we all accept things just as they are. May we all be undisturbed by the ups and downs of life. May all hearts open wide enough to hold everything that is true in the moment. So we've decided to let you participate in the scheduling from here out. I don't know if you're grouped out. You certainly seem to be having a good experience with the last group discussion. That's what's currently scheduled, the same 20 minutes and then optional walking. But then we want to come back and all of us share the whole day, all four Brahmaviharas, and what the heck is going on with you, to the extent you want to share that. And basically, your take-homes from the day. And to have a general discussion about that. And answer your questions. We're always here to answer questions. And by the way, does anyone have any at this point? All right. So I invite you to weigh in on the scheduling thing. And that is, do you want to break out into small discussion groups again? Or do you want to stay in a general discussion and do the take-homes now? So you want to put it to a vote?
Sure.
Vote Meister.
All those in favor of another session of small groups, raise your hands.
Okay.
Unanimous.
Wow.
All right.
They were great.
I don't think I need to ask the other question.
Okay, there's one other question. Do you want a little break? Like 5 minutes? 5, 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. Optional?
Yeah.
5 minutes.
I think that'd be good.
Okay.
Get energy back up again.
Yeah, we'll ring the bell again. I'm going to go run around the block. Okay. I haven't run in 10 years.
I run around the block if I could. I'll just be lucky to get my ass out of the chair.
I know.